Good morning. I'm Mark Purcell. This is the Book Club at 91.7, a show about books and the people who read and write them. On the way, color and fashion. Leatrice Eisenman follows the multicolored road of color and design through the 20th century in her new book, Pantone on Fashion. That's as fun to look at as it is interesting to read. And you'll stumble through Hollywood history in about 20 minutes with Mark Bailey and Edward Hemingway and their book of all the gin joints. William Joyce, as his bio in the book says, does a lot of stuff. Films, apps, Olympic curling, but children's books are his true bailiwick. He's written the fantastic flying books of Mr. Morris Lessmore, Roly Poly Oly, and so many other books, including Dinosaur Bob and His Adventures with the Family Lizardo. William Joyce has a new book out called The Numberlys and is joining me from his home in Shreveport, Louisiana.
Thank you very much. It's great to be here.
Well, I wanted to ask, I noticed that this began, The Numberlys, your new book, began as an app and a short film before it came a book. Is that really the way it went, or was it the book before the app and the short film?
You know, that question's been coming up a lot in the last few years of my career. Our last book, The Fantastic Flying Books of Morris Lessmore, was an app first, but it only came out first because we were making a short film of it at the time, and we weren't finished with the short film. But I'd written the book first, but it takes me a long time to illustrate the book. So that came out in reverse order, and everybody thought, oh my gosh, you know, he made a book based on a short film, and then there's an app. And it was like, no, it's really the other way around. And the same thing happened here on Numberlys. It's something I wrote a long time ago and had been kind of waiting to get the time to do. And then we had a sort of open spot in our schedule at the studio. We have a studio here in Shreveport called Moonbot Studios, where we do animation and apps and books, and, you know, we just sort of make up stuff and try to find magic in thin air and release it to the world. And we're like, you know, I've got the Numberlys sitting around. We could do something with that. And so we started making the short film, or no, we made the app first, and then the short film, and then completed the book. And they've come out in all sorts of different. The book's coming out last again, but everything is based on the book. It's just you didn't see that first. Does that make sense?
It does make sense. Well, The Numberlys is a beautiful book about a group of workers, very much, and this has been mentioned, I know, very much reminiscent of Fritz Lang's great cinematic masterpiece, Metropolis. But this is set in a world of numbers. And then some letters come along. What, you know, how was this inspired by Metropolis? And you know, why did you decide Metropolis was the vehicle you wanted to bring numbers and letters to the kids?
Well, you know, a lot of our books have been sort of have an origin from, or at least, you know, some inspiration from old movies that we love. And there's a lot of stuff like in Morris Lessmore that you know, harkened back to Buster Keaton and to The Wizard of Oz. And so they just restored Metropolis. And, you know, it's a landmark film. It was the first science fiction film, and it was one of the last great epics of a silent era. And I always liked it, but I never quite understood it. It was like a beautiful film, but the plot didn't make that much sense. And then they rediscovered 40 minutes of missing footage in Argentina that had been lost since the movie premiered in 1927. So they're able to put together the first really complete version of the film that had been seen since it first came out. And Fritz Lang, the director, the great, masterful director, had disowned the movie and, you know, hated it in its truncated condition. So it was finally getting to be seen the way he'd intended it. And I think it had only been screened once in its full version before it got sort of hacked up by the studio heads. So here it was. It was brought back to the screens. It was out on Blu-ray, and I went to see it. And it first of all, it made sense finally. And then seeing it on the screen and with its original music score, it was extraordinary. It was one of the most amazing movie experiences I've ever had. It's so gigantic. It's such an epic, you know. And this crazy vision of the future that we've all, it's influenced every version of what we see the future as, since it was the first movie to sort of do that and speculate on what the future would be like. And in Metropolis, it's kind of like dour and giant buildings everywhere and masses of unhappy workers doing drudge work. But the imagery is so extraordinary and so epic. And I was like, God, if there's just some story I could tell for kids that could invoke this greatness that Lang had achieved, that would be really fun. That would be really awesome. But, you know, but what would be the story? And that's the whole thing with, you know, coming up with a book is what's the story? I mean, we have this world that I wanted to build that echoed Metropolis, but what happens within it that a kid would relate to? And I don't know. One day it just clicked. It was like, it's a world full of numbers, and that's all they have. They don't have letters yet, and they're called the Numberlies. And numbers are good. You know, they keep everything orderly and on time, but you need a little more. You need language. You need, you know, letters. And so these five guys out of the masses decide to, well, I guess they're guys. It's kind of, it's hard to tell what their gender is.
That's true.
And they decide to start doing something more, is how they put it. And so in the number factory, they start cobbling together pieces of numbers into different shapes, and they come up with A, and they're overwhelmed. This is like, as it says, it's artful, it's awesome. And they begin to build the alphabet. So once they build the alphabet with all this epic machinery, giant stuff, you know, they get to Z, and they unleash the alphabets into the world, in their numberly world. The letters float through the sky, gigantic letters floating through the sky, and they begin to spell things like yellow and jelly beans and pizza. And then those things just suddenly appear magically, and they are part of the world now, and color comes to the world. And so there's a great rejoicing. And but then when the sky fills with Z's at the end, they all get sleepy and fall asleep after their big day of making things different. And, you know, the numberly world will never be the same, but richer and more colorful. And then as it ends, it says, the last thing it says is a Z end. So
yes.
It did what I wanted it to do. It's an epic about making the alphabet and what happens when you manage that. And it wasn't just, you know, A is for apple, B is for boy. It was, it's Metropolis for kids.
And I guess what really attracted you to Metropolis as well is Metropolis had a robot.
Yeah.
I know you love robots, yeah. So I could see
yeah,
that being,
I mean,
you,
whole
you would be a
called robots. And Roly Poly Oly was all robots. It's just something, robots are so cool when you're a kid. It's like, You I've been waiting for them to happen, and that and flying cars and jetpacks. Just like, when's all the cool stuff that the future's supposed to have happen? You know, and so robots are one of the things that just always seemed like it'd be awesome to have. So, Metropolis was the first movie to have all that stuff. I mean, I think it was the first movie to have robots in it. It was the first movie to have flying cars. It was the first movie to have all the things that we think of as what the future will be. And that was 1927, and we're still waiting. So as we still wait, I guess it's people like my job to at least supply, you know, a whimsical fictional version of what we hope will happen.
I'm speaking with William Joyce, who, along with Christina Ellis, has the new children's book, The Numberlies, available in bookstores right now. You can find a link to learn more about it at our website, wvxu.org. And you know, many of us are waiting for that future to happen again. And it occurs to me, as we're talking, when you think about Metropolis, that Fritz Lang film from 1927, how it's informed so many science fiction films right up to today. I mean, you think Blade Runner and how much the Blade Runner film had that derived from Metropolis.
His vision, Lang's vision, was so powerful that it's endured all these decades and continues to endure, and so inspires, you know, goofballs like me to sit down and decide to do a children's book based on his sort of vision. And, you know, bringing a little bit more whimsy to it, but it's very much, and I even dedicate the book to Fritz Lang. And I don't know, I think that, like, part of what I like in my job, you know, in making films and making books, is paying a sort of respect or due or acknowledging the great stories of the past, the things that have influenced me, you know, whether it's a book like Winnie the Pooh or the Beatrix Potter books or Harold and the Purple Crayon, you know, and then movies like The Wizard of Oz and Metropolis and It's a Wonderful Life and Errol Flynn's Robin Hood, you know, these linchpins of my childhood that just made me love stories and made me love books and made me love movies. And so the lucky place that I'm in is sort of the future. I mean, it's a future that I'd hoped for, and that is that I can make books and I can make films, and we make apps now where you know, on the Numberlease book, there's an app that we call the Imaginatron. Once you buy the book, you can go to the site and you can buy the app. You can then point your, you know, iOS, Android, or Kindle at the book, and the book will actually come to life on your screen, and the characters in the book will begin to animate and run around and do interesting things, and you can play with them. You can get them to make letters. You can make letters yourself. It's an extension of the experience of a book, and it's not our intention to make, you know, subvert the book or do anything to diminish it, because to us, books are holy. I mean, it's what I started doing, and I think books are just perfect, and they will always work because you don't have to plug them in, and the battery doesn't run out, and they don't break when you drop them, and, you know, even when they get wet, you can still read them. But there's all this new fun stuff. The future's coming to us in these new boxes of paint, basically, is what I refer to them as, that we can make stories that entwine the idea of a book and a film and make it a more of an experience. A book is a perfect singular experience, but with this new technology, you can do different things with it, and you get deeper into the story and experience the story of a book in a different way. That's exciting to be able to do. And some of it, I swear, seems like alchemy. I mean, when you point your screen, your iPod or pad or whatever at this book, and you see the images in the book suddenly spring to life on your screen and start to do something entirely different, and that's something that you can interact with and, you know, help direct and help them do certain tasks, it feels like magic. It just doesn't seem possible. And so if I haven't gotten my flying car yet or my jetpack, I am able to tell stories in a way that seems totally from the future and totally like magic.
Well, it seems that you provide, you have that magic that you get to revel in, and we get to revel in your magic too when it comes to films like Robots and the Rise of the Guardians, that you will transport us away into this magical world and what can be the future. And it seems that, well, frankly, you have the best job ever.
I have to agree with you.
I think I read in a bio somewhere where you wrote that, you know, it's like getting paid for recess in school.
Yeah. Yeah. It really is. Now, every now and then, I mean, even recess, like you were playing really hard. I mean, you were exhausted, but it was awesome. And that's pretty much, you know, how it goes for us. I mean, occasionally there are economic things that rear their head, like we're over budget, and it's like, oh, that ain't any fun. But that's about as bad as it gets. For most of the time, we're just sitting around making stuff up and having a great time and cracking each other up and hoping that whatever silly stuff we've come up with will amuse, you know, others. And that's just a dandy job.
I looked at your film career. You began by creating conceptual characters for Toy Story and A Bug's Life, and then you became, what, like the producer of, director of Robots, and it's grown, your latest film, Epic, just came out, and you're the writer, production designer, executive producer. It seems that as you look at your filmography, that that you've evolved and you keep on taking on more roles as you're making these films.
Well, that's what's the fun part about this present, you know, is that guys like me aren't just, and kids coming up don't have to be just one thing. I mean, you know, if you can tell a story and you can draw, for me right now, there are many, many opportunities and places to do that and ways to do that. And so it's really exhilarating. I mean, I love doing books. It's a very, you know, singular endeavor. I mean, it's, you spend a lot of time alone. But in working in the movies, when I started working, you know, on Toy Story, the fun of collaboration, of sitting in a room full of people who are, you know, beginning to forge a world and figuring out what happens in that world and who the characters are and what's going to happen to them and what makes a good story is just thrilling and great fun. So much fun sometimes I just have to, like, go, just stop. I can't take it. This is too good. I need a minute to just appreciate this. That idea was so awesome. I just want to revel in it for a minute. And, you know, now I can, when I feel like the need to do something singular and quiet, I can sit and do a book. But, you know, in the same day, I'll be helping direct a short film or, you know, doing designs for a feature film or figuring out stuff for, we do games now here at Moonbot. And I mean, we're just exploring all the technology that's available now. So it's this grand time where the technology and the toys and the need for stories is making a lot of opportunities for folks like myself. And I think kids coming up, I mean, so many of our employees are just out of school and they are excited and thrilled by the idea of not doing just one thing, that they're helping design, that they're helping build, that they're helping do story, that they're helping with editing, that they're helping with composition and color. I mean, it's really like, I think it's a grand time right now, at least for what I do.
Well, William Joyce, you've gotten an Academy Award for the fantastic flying books of Mr. Morris Lesmore. You've got 3 Emmys for Roly Poly Oly, that animated series based on your children's books. You have had a television series. You've got games and apps. What do you find most rewarding in all this creative work that you do?
When somebody says, I read your book to my kid 1,000 times and I never got tired of it. Or, you know, now what happens is I'll be at a book signing and someone comes up to me and goes, I read your books when I was a kid and I'm a teacher now. And one of the reasons I became a teacher was I loved your books. And then, first of all, that makes me feel old. But second of all, it makes me feel like, you know, old in a good way. And it's just really when you hear that a story you did has stuck with people and given them great joy and occasionally guided their destinies a bit, it's just awesome. And it makes, I can't quite put the feeling into words, but it'll make my day. And the same thing for the movies. I mean, there's, when Guardians came out, Rise of the Guardians, I still get stuff. I got something today. I mean, there's all these people that dresses the characters from the movie, that dresses Santa Claus and Easter, the Easter Bunny and Jack Frost, especially Jack Frost. And I mean, that was such a fun thing to get to do, to try to define those mythic characters and then find that a great many people, you know, have accepted that mythology that I built and have embraced it. And as adults, you know, won't give it up. And I think that they will go and dress as Jack Frost and go somewhere to go to these conventions. I got a picture the other day at one of these comic conventions, and there was like 12 people dressed as Pitch, the Boogeyman, and about 10 people dressed as Jack Frost, and a bunch of people dressed as Sandman, and all these different characters from the Guardians. And it just made my month. It was like, you know, they spent a lot of time on these costumes. They saw something in it that pleased them so much, that made them so happy that they feel compelled to dress up as these characters. That's very unexpected and deeply, you know, pleasing. Sort of, you know, if I've contributed to a giddy madness in the world, that's good. There are worse things to do.
Indeed. William Joyce, the author, illustrator, and filmmaker, his new book, The Numberlys, which is also an app and a short film, is available right now. You can learn more at our website, WVXU.org. And William Joyce, keep up your fun work, and thanks for all that happiness you have brought to our world.
Well, thank you very much, and don't worry, you can't stop me. I'm having too much fun.
What book did you read as a child that left a lasting impression? That's the question we're asking Book Club listeners to answer this month. Here's a few responses.
My name is Elizabeth Truitt, and I live in Marymount. The book that I read as a child that definitely affected me the most was The Bridge to Terabithia, which was a Katherine Patterson book. And I can remember the very chair I was sitting in when I finished it, and I remember having a very visceral reaction to it. And I think it was my first introduction to grief. I really remember realizing that books didn't just transport you some strange place or time that you weren't expecting, but it could give you this emotional connection that really affected how I even viewed my family and the relationships in it, and that's still with me now.
Hello, folks. My name is Chris Arducer. I live in Northside. The book that made a very lasting impression on me when I was a kid and continues to do so today is The Little Prince by, and I'm sure I'm butchering his name, Antoine de Saint-Exupéry. As I was reading it, I began to realize I wasn't alone in the world, thinking that the world was perhaps an insane place to live and that the people that who are allegedly in charge, the grown-ups, as they're called in the book, maybe didn't have much of a clue either.
Hi, I'm Bruce Cromer. I hail from beautiful Yellow Springs, Ohio. Boy, one of the books that really struck me when I was a kid was Oliver Twist by Charles Dickens. That whole sense of redemption through kindness, everyday kindnesses amongst your family members, if not the greater society, that definitely spoke to me and still helps me, I think, get through my day.
This is the Book Club at 91.7.